Join us as Pastor Ron Duty of the First Baptist Church of Carroll teaches us how to strengthen our relationship with God through His Holy Word.
There have been a lot of activity taking place the last month, hasn't they? We've seen a lot of things going on in this country that sometimes it's surprising to believe that the things that we see could actually be taking place. And we'll take and turn to Revelation, the 9th chapter, and begin at verse 1. We're going to read down to about the 12th verse, and I would like to spend a couple weeks here talking about the will of men and the things that we can see taking place and the things that I believe that are going to take place, and I do not believe it's very far in the future when we actually see the madness that is taking place in the world today, than what is being spoken of in Revelation chapter 9 is something that could easily take place overnight. But let's begin reading at verse 1. And it says, "And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air was darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and upon them was given power, as the scorpion of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green things, neither any trees, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their forehead. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shape of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle, and on their head there was as a crown like gold, and their face were as the face of men. And they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions, and they had breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name is in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue his name is Apollyon. One woe is past, and behold, there comes two woes more hereafter." And I would like to read on down just a little bit further so we can kind of get a picture of this. We'll actually read the whole chapter. "And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, Loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year, for to slay the third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000, and I heard the numbers of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplate of fire and jasmine and brimstone, and the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouth issued fire and smoke and brimstone. By these three were the third part of men killed, by the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouth. For their power is in their mouth and in their tail, for their tails were like unto serpents, and had heads, and with them they do hurt. And the rest of men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repenteth not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk, neither repenteth they of their murder, nor of their sorcery, nor of their fornication, nor of their theft. To me, that almost sounds like one of Karen's dreams. Kind of a nightmarish type of an event that is taking place. But there is a lot of spiritual things that we can draw from this and apply to what we see taking place in society today, in the world around us. But not only that, but take and try to vision what is coming. As you read down through here, you see nothing but darkness, seems like. And that is where the devil works from, darkness. And if you get to hell, the Bible says, it will be pure darkness. Demons works in darkness. And I mean, as you study the Bible, and you study about demonic activity, it always seemed like has a relationship with darkness. Now, last week we talked about something in the area of what it is that we are to do being called of God, and that is that we are to have a vision, and vision speaks of light. And if you think about light, you see that Jesus came in the world to be the light of the world, to dispel the darkness around us, that we could truly know what the truth is and understand who God is and have a relationship with God. And that's the last thing the devil wants, is someone to have a relationship with God. He wants them to walk in darkness and not see and understand and comprehend who God is and who God is in his creation and what God is doing in his creation. I don't know if you can remember back, and some of you probably do, but whenever the event of 9/11 took place, remember years ago, these guys flew into the World Trade Center, and it was just amazing to think about an event like that being able to take place in this country like it did. And I know that goes way back. And I remember several things about that event, and I remember the programs that people listened to on the radio at that time. And I've shared this with you, and I never could get this guy's name straight, but his name was Harold Stern. And everybody seemed to love him in that shop. You could walk down through the shop, and they would always be listening to this guy. And if you don't know who he is, he's just, to me, is one of the most vulgar person that could be on radio. And they promoted him up to syndicated radio and all this type of stuff because of the thing that he was presenting to mankind. And it just seemed like it just got worse and worse. And all the guys in the shop listened to this guy. And I remember whenever 9/11 took place, I was walking down the aisle of the shop. And I remember whenever this happened, someone said, you know, America's under attack. And then all of a sudden, the managers in the shop got everybody together and said, let's go down to have a meeting in the room down there, and we'll kind of go over this. And then they asked me, and I've shared this with you, Pat. They asked me, said, Ron, said, would you be willing to come down and have prayer with us? And I told them, no, I won't. And they said, why not? And I said, reason I won't come down there and have prayer with you is simply for the fact is because this is just a temporary thing for you. You know, give it a couple months, and after 3 or 4 months, this will all fade away, and you'll be back to normal. You'll be listening to the radios that you listen to and the stuff that you listen to on radio, so I won't do it. Now, in hindsight, maybe I should have. I don't know. And some people have criticized, well, you had an opportunity. Listen, I had an opportunity, and I took the opportunity, and I shared with these guys many times about this stuff. But the idea of it was, is the only thing that was taking place is they were afraid of what was happening. In a moment, they wanted peace, and they knew where to look to, and that was to God. And folks, listen, on New Year's Eve, I think it was on New Year's Eve, whenever this took place down in Alabama, the explosion that took place down there. Karen and I got up on my birthday, New Year's morning, turned on the TV, And they begin to expound upon this bomb, not a bomb, but this truck that went through the down there and how it ran over people and people were killed and this type of thing. And the same thing was happening similar to 9/11, just less people was involved in it. And here's the thing that got me, and I go back to 9/11 and this, is if you watch this guy driving that truck down this street, he's doing it deliberately, you know, hitting people. And it's like, without any thought of what he was doing. And if you watch 9/11, whenever that plane goes into, this is something that amazed me, whenever that guy flew that plane into the World Trade Center, they had it all planned out, laid out. And from my understanding, they said they flew that plane, they were flying it like this, and they turned it just like that, just sort of to do more harm and destruction. And it was actually hoping to bring that building down, and they didn't flinch. Not one bit. Didn't flinch. Just did it. Thinking they were doing a good thing. Darkness. Darkness. Demonic activities. We talk about the southern border of this country being invasion, there being an invasion taking place in America. Now listen up. And you don't have to necessarily agree with me on all this, but I'm telling you that there's a day coming when there is going to be an invasion, not only in this country, but in the world itself. And that invasion is demonic activity. And we, in my understanding, in the way I see it, are fast approaching that day. Now tell me something. Whenever you read down through here, look at verse 6, if you would, just for a moment. It said, in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. Well, what is it that would be worse than dying? You ever think about that? What could be worse than dying? Well, let me give you a scripture passage to read, if you would. And don't do it this morning, but jot it down and read Luke chapter 8, beginning at verse 26, and read down through there how Jesus came into the shores and he found there a person who was possessed by a demon. And as a result of being possessed by a demon, he was doing all these things. And he ran to Jesus, and the demon asked him, said, have you come to torment us at this point? And then after he had this dialogue with Jesus, and Jesus cast the demons out of this person, and the demon goes over, and they said, well, you know, let us go into the hogs. And he goes over into the hogs, and the hogs run down the hills into the creek, or to the ocean, and drowned. And then the people comes, and they wanted Jesus to leave because there was fear. You'd think they would want him not to send him away, but they didn't want him to stay. They wanted him to get out. They're afraid of him. And then here it is, this guy is sitting at his feet, looking up and worshiping the Lord, for the Lord done. Light, darkness, light and darkness. And let me just say to you, and I'm not trying to throw no fear out there, because I whenever I thought about this, I'm thinking, well, if I do this, then what I'm going to do is I'm going to create fear. So I got to end this in a positive note. And I thought I'd put 4 points down here on the upward swing of this thing. And I thought if I did that, I'd have to keep you all day long. And that would be a negative thing in itself. But it doesn't seem like whenever we see all these things taking place in the world around us, it doesn't seem like we learn too much from these events that are happening. And I was listening to a guy the other day talking about the event that just happened, and they were asking him, how do we prevent these things from happening? And he gave out all these great big scenarios of how we can do this. And you know, we take this event, we don't focus in on that one. What we actually do, we try to look to the future and anticipate and know that more is coming. Well, I can tell you this morning, it doesn't take a genius to figure that one out. Because I'm telling you, there's more coming. How many of you agree with me on that? There's more coming. And you and I only see a glimpse of it. As you read down through here in the ninth chapter, and like I said, we'll spend a couple of weeks here expounding up on this, focusing in on some of the things that happened here, and see some of the things that I believe that are coming. Now, the good news is by the time we get to chapter 9 in Revelation, as far as I'm concerned, the church is gone, and you and I will not have to deal with this event. This is a world event to those who are still involved in the world. I was talking to a guy this week, and I've got this little mic on. I can move around a little bit now. I think I can move around. I was talking to a guy this week, and I began to expound upon him. He was talking about, man, did you hear what happened on New Year's Day? And I said, who hasn't? And then he said something about, do you know what China's doing? Now, he's not a Christian, all right? And he said, you know what China's doing? I said, about the Taiwan. I said, yeah, I read about that. He said, how about Russia and what Russia's doing in Afghanistan? And I said, yeah, I've read some on that, and I understand a little bit about that. He said, how about the Middle East? And I said, yeah, I've heard a little bit about the Middle East and what's going on in the Middle East and all this events that's taking place in the world. And I asked him, I said, let me ask you a question. And I said, do you, and I know he didn't, right, because I know him a little bit. I said, do you ever read the Bible? He said, no. And I said, you know, it's interesting that we, humanity out there, even though they're walking in darkness, will not pick up God's word and begin reading in it and reading through it. And as a result of not reading through it, what God is doing, he is displaying it before them. This is the Bible. What you see taking place in the world today is the word of God. And it's being displayed before me. And I said to him, I said, you know, you don't have to go home and get your Bible. You don't have to open it up and read it. I just said, you just spoke the Bible, and God is revealing it to you, and you're seeing it, and you're reading it, and it's being displayed. And you know what he did? Started laughing at me. That's that. Now, listen, it's okay. He started laughing. And I asked him, I said, well, how do you think this is all going to end? What do you see taking place in the world? He said, well, I see this happening in China, and I see Russia doing this, and I see this taking place in the Middle East. And he said, I see all these other things happening in the world. And I'm telling you, as he's giving me the description of what he sees taking place, he's telling me Revelation. That's what I told him. I said, you know, that's true. That's true. I said, you just spoke the Bible, the one that you're laughing at. The very thing that I just said, you're laughing at, you're talking about it, and you don't even know it. That darkness. That's demonic. But you have not him, not you, but Satan has him exactly where he wants him to have, because he's in ignorance. He's in darkness. And the devil has blinded his mind, and he can't see, and he's laughing. Well, at the end of the conversation, after we finally finished up, I encouraged him to go do something that, you know, I sometimes say, well, how about getting a book and reading it? First, I told him to get the Bible, but he's already been reading it. So I said, do me a favor. I said, go on to YouTube or however you get it. I don't know how you do it. I'm not that computer savvy, okay? All right, I'm computer illiterate. And so I told him, I said, do this. I said, how about The Late Great Planet Earth? How many of you have ever heard that book? Anybody? Hal Lindsey, you got it. Some of you have heard of it, Late Great Planet Earth. I said, go get that book and read that book if you can't read any other book. He said, okay, I'll do that. And so what he did, he got on the computer and there at work, and he actually ordered that book. He said, I'll get it on January the 18th. And he said, I'll sit down and read that. And I'm thinking, all right, maybe some light is shining through here. And so the end result of it is that you sympathize with the world around us as the darkness is pervasive and hiding men from the ability to see the light that we talked about last week. In the Bible, there's a verse that says the God of this world, Satan, has blinded the mind of those that believe not. Now listen, lest the light, the vision, the light should shine through and they would be able to see and believe and comprehend what is taking place and what is going to take place. Thank God this morning, you who know Jesus, comprehend. Amen? Amen. Listen, I'm not even at my first point yet. I love reading the scriptures, don't you? I really do. And I remember whenever in the 71, Karen and I first got married, I couldn't do it. I just didn't make sense. And all of a sudden, the light comes in, Christ comes in, the Holy Spirit comes in, and now the Bible makes, I'm beginning reading that, and it's the King James, and I'm thinking it makes good sense. You don't have to have a King James, but I like the King James. That's mine. But I begin reading, I think this makes good sense. It's good to know what God is going to do. So this morning, as we look down through here and we see the stubbornness of men's heart, or we see the stubbornness of men's will, as we look through this, the first thing that we see that God wants is this. Look at verse 20. Now, I know people say, boy, this is bad stuff that's happening, but look at verse 20. And it says, whenever all this took place, we're back to verse 19 of chapter 9. It says, for this power is in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails were like unto serpent and had heads, and with them they do hurt. And the rest of men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repenteth not of the works of their hand, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk, neither repenteth they of their murder, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their theft. And so the first thing that we see that God wants out of mankind is this: repent. Bad word. If you use the word repent, it means you have to turn from something. And the thing that God wants us to turn from is simply sin and a rebellious nature towards Him, and acknowledge Him for who He is. And the world don't want to do that. Go out there and start talking about Jesus and use that word repent, and people won't do like that guy did this past week with me. They're going to begin laughing at you, saying, repent from what? What do I need to repent from? What do I do? Now think about it, if you would. All that is taking place in the world today, COVID, flus, I mean, all the things that are happening, and man's kind still says everything is good. We're not going to repent. We're not going to turn back. So what we have here is a message from God, and that is to repent. Say it with me. Repent. So go out there and tell your friend that, and hopefully I'll see you next week without you having a black eye, all right? Because it's a dangerous thing to do in the world. You and I are not going to get out of this. And I don't want to be pessimistic here, all right? Optimistic I am, but pessimistic is that there's some things coming. And I believe that this is just what we saw on New Year's Eve is just the beginning for this new year of 2025. And if we come back to the end of 2025, if the church is still here, you and I are going to look back upon the things and the thing that happened in 2025. And we're going to say, man, those things were just unbelievable that they could happen. Why? Because I believe in that there's demonic work going on in the world today, and it's manifesting itself to a greater degree in every area, and it's opening the door for revelation chapter 9 and all that's going to come as a result of it. And God cries out to humanity and he says, just repent. Why? Well, it's because God loves them. You know what the will of God is? And stay with me for a little bit, all right? The will of God is this, is that none should perish, but that all should come to what? Repentance. That's it. That's God's will. And to repent means to turn from sin, meaning a rebellious attitude towards God. Now notice what it says here in verse 20 again. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repentance not of their works, the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils, idols, gold, silver, brass, stone, wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk, neither repenteth they of their murders, neither of their sorcery, nor of their fornication, nor of their theft. And he said they're not going to do it. We're just not going to repent. I saw a little clip the other day on the YouTube. I was watching YouTube, and I was watching it. This lady, it was in a Walmart store. She was a cashier there, and they caught her stealing $100 bills. I mean, had it on camera. And she was reaching into the drawer and kind of giving it this and shoving the $100 bill down into her purse there. And then she would go do a little bit of work at her register and reach over, grab another and throw it down in her purse and do this. And she did this, I don't know how many times. And finally, the security guard went over and got her, took her into the office, called the police. Police came and she blew up at him. What did I do wrong? Is what she said. I didn't do nothing wrong. And they said, well, we have you on camera. We see where you took the money. I didn't do it. I'm innocent. It's just amazing how men's heart is today. It's amazing. You know, in California, some of you probably know this already, but in California, they actually, I think they're changing the law there because it got too serious, is that they wouldn't prosecute you except that you had to take a certain amount of valuables, and they had people pulling up in cars. If you had like a chainsaw in the back of your car, they had people pull up behind you, jump out of the car, run up or bust out the window, grab your chainsaw, whatever it is you had in your car, jump back in their car and shoot off someplace. Listen, tell me, it's not getting better out there. Is there anybody in this room that would lift your hand up and say, I think it's getting better? No, you're not, because you're going, if you do that, everybody in this room going to be doing what that guy did to me at work. We'd be laughing at you because we'd say, it ain't getting better. It's not getting better. And listen, we think sometimes that we're living in a nightmare, but listen, the nightmare hasn't begun yet. Amen? Listen, the nightmare hasn't begun. It's coming. The only good thing about it is you and I are gone. Amen? Now, I said that there are certain things in scriptures I like, and listen, I'm going to bring this short here in a minute without giving you all my point, but I was reading in the Bible, but I memorized the verse in John chapter 14. It says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, but I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you myself, that where I am, there you may be also. But the part I like was my Father. And man, could we ever expound upon that? My Father. Okay. Whenever the disciples came to Jesus and they looked at Jesus and he said something like this, he said, Lord, we see you pray and we see you talking to the Father in heaven. Can you teach us how to pray? And the Lord said to them, he said, I'll teach you how to pray. And he began the prayer. He says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And the thing of it is, he goes from my Father to our Father. And so how does God in heaven become our Father? How does that happen? Well, it begins with that one thing there that we already talked about, and that's the word, repent from the things that we do. Repent from being ourselves. Turn to God and acknowledge him for being God, our Lord, our Redeemer, our Savior. Isn't that good to know? And it's so easy. That's all God's trying to do here to get happen and make happen. So God begins to plead here. Point number two and I still got 5 minutes. And I have 8 points. I'm going to let you off easy, though. Point number two. One is, all men need to repent. That's true, all men. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everyone needs to repent, right? Number two is, God pleads with men to bring them to repentance. Can you imagine, before you got to Revelation chapter 9, what had already transpired in the book of Revelation? You have a lot of plagues, and I'm not going to go through the seals, the trumpets, and all the events that took place. But now there's 144,000 that are saved. They preach the gospel. There's two witnesses that comes, walk down the street doing miracles, preaching the gospel. They kill them in the middle of the streets, and they kill them in the middle of the street. So they saw them dead in the streets, and they give gifts to each other because of those individuals being dead in the street. That's men's heart. And I tell you, men's heart is getting to that point today. If you say to the world, I'm a Christian today, the world says to you, you're the problem. If we could get rid of you, now listen, if we could get rid of you, then we could solve the problems of the world and we'd all live in harmony and everybody would be happy because you're the stubborn ones. You're the ones who's naive. You can't tolerate all that's taking place. And as a result of that, we got to do something with you. And if you think it's going to get easier on me and you, it's not. Because if they hated God, they're going to hate you too. Amen. Why? Because he's your father. But God pleaded with men that they would come to repentance. And we see all that proceeded to this point where God is doing all that he's doing because he wants them to repent and come to know him because he loved them. God pleads with men. Now, let me throw this at you real quick, and I'll bring this to a close. How does God plead with men? And so you got to come back next week to get the end of this, all right? Well, he pleads with men through their conscience. Men knows. Like I was telling you about that guy this week that I talked to, he knows what's going on in the world. Why? Because his conscience is telling him something is going on, something is going to happen. And folks, listen, God is revealing himself even to those who don't know him. I'm going to do something, and you need to wake up. So he pleads to his conscience of men. And listen, we could deal with that because I did study psychology. And as a result of that, we talk about in psychology why men do what they do. And the reason they do what they do is because of their conscience, usually. All right? We could talk about that forever. And then God, pleased by his goodness, he still demonstrates how good he is through his creation. Every day that you're able to get out of bed and breathe, it's another day that God gives to you, and it's a good day. Amen. He pleads through his word. He pleads through his creation as he reveals himself through his creation. And he pleads with humanity through his son, Jesus Christ. Now we know, and I will close with this, we know that the devil, as we see taking place in the world, the devil has a calling. And he's calling all humanity to go with him to find themselves in a position where they will be totally destroyed and separated with God. That's what he calls for. But God calls too. And he calls all men to repent. And he does this through his son, Jesus, through the gospel, through his people, through the church. Come and know God. Amen. And as we look down through here, we can see the compassion of God in this chapter too. And next week, maybe we can talk a little bit about the compassion of God dealing with the will or the stubborn will of man. All right? So come back next week and we'll try to finish this. I don't think we'll get finished next week, but we'll see. Right? Let me ask you a question this morning. Where are you at? I told this guy at work, I said to him, I said, you know, there's a rapture coming. And boy, you talking about somebody about ready to fall on the floor. I don't know you. I don't know about you. And I think most of you do, but I believe in a rapture, right? I believe. And why I believe it? The Bible teaches it. But now I told him that, he about fell on the floor. And Brother Joel, he uses one of your words. He said, well, what's going to happen? He said, whenever the rapture takes place. I said, well, whenever the rapture happens, I tell you what, I said, how will I know? I said, well, let me tell you two things to do if it happened. Number one is go find some place. Don't go to a church. If you got a preacher there at that church, it means he's been doing something wrong. So you don't want to go to church. So go find you a Bible and begin reading the Bible, because that's where you're going to find out God's will for you. And I said, the other way you're going to know that it happened is if you come back here and find my clothes laying on this floor. And boy, did he almost fall over dead. Whenever I said that, because he began to really bust out. He said, you mean tell me you're going to heaven naked? And I said, you don't know very much about God's word, do you? I understand, buddy. God is good. And then I wanted him to know. And I said, you know, and now some of you might disagree, but I told him, I said, you know, I want you to know something. God loves you. And he wants to have a relationship with you. Get to know the God that created you. Because folks, listen, this year coming, we are on a journey. We're going to see some good things, I really believe. Even though the world's going to fall apart around us, we as God people will see some amazing things. Who knows? Maybe we will end up in glory. And maybe our clothes will be laying on the floor. But I don't believe we're going to be standing. Now, I don't know. Some of you, again, if you want to see that, I don't think we're going to be standing in heaven naked. Boy, I cannot picture that thought. That's a little bit much there for me, but Shekinah glory of God is what I call it. That's what you'll see. Closed in God's glory. Amen. Folks, listen. Share Jesus with somebody this year. Tell them that God don't want you to see this. He wants to keep you from it. He wants you to come home and know him. Amen. Stand with me as we close. Father, this morning, we, your people, bow before you, thanking you that you have brought us to a point somewhere in our life where we truly knew that we had sinned. We just made mistakes. And that we knew that we needed to repent, and all we had to do was just come to you and say, I made some mistakes. I know I've sinned. I'm sorry. Forgive me. And Father, your love and your will is that you will do exactly what you say that you do. If we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You said that. And we believe it. And you did it. And we stand in your presence amazed. And Father, we know that if there's any in this room that needs to repent, that you'll do the same thing for them. We know that if any of our family members needs to repent, and there are, we know you'll do the same for them. Help us, Father, to be that light that shines in the darkness in their life, that they can truly see Jesus and see the light that you have for them and the life that you have for them. And Father, that they will come to know you. As we close this service, any decision needs to be made. This is the time. Your altar is open. And we thank you in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening. You have just heard a message from Pastor Ron Duty of the First Baptist Church of Carroll, Ohio. If you would like more information about starting a relationship or growing in your walk with the Lord, please visit our website at www.firstbaptist.life.